Good morning and welcome to the conversation on this Friday, Kamehameha Day. Maybe you've got the day off. Glad we can spend some time together. And good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. You've been looking at Maui all week, and this morning you're looking at the thing on which everything hinges on Maui, namely the environment, right?
This is true. It's exactly what people have been coming to Maui to enjoy, whether they're staying there permanently as new residents or whether they're simply spending a vacation. But as we've been looking this week at how Maui is being remodeled by its ever-growing and often transplanted population and the visitor industry, the claims of each on land and infrastructure can be lengthy. The natural tension between offering what many residents and visitors want and conserving the place they enjoy particularly shows up in the environment, as Chris mentioned. And for almost 20 years now, Maui Tomorrow Foundation has worked in partnership with other community organizations to focus on quality of life. In March, the group published a report on Maui's farming future on the heels of the announced closure of HCNS and the end of sugar. Albert Perez is the executive director of Maui Tomorrow Foundation, and he's on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Thanks for being with us today, especially on a holiday. As you look at Maui in general, what are the most pressing concerns that you see, and how would you rate Maui's environmental health right now?
Well, you know, for a long time, we've been able to say that it's been pretty good. But in the last decade or so, I would say that we're starting to see some of the same problems. Reef degradation, a lot of traffic, the same problems as Oahu has been having for a long time. So, but water, the future of the Central Maui lands with HCNS closing, traffic, population, tourism, lots of questions. Air quality has been an issue. We're pretty close to the Big Island, so we have Vog, but also the cane burning is supposed to end at the end of this year. So hopefully there will be some improvement. Of course, that depends on whether the new landowners start burning new crops, but we are hopeful.
You've also put out in the report that came out in March some possible solutions that you thought would put Maui on the map, quote, as a leader in a systemic and holistic approach to agriculture. What specifically would you like to see happen with those lands that may be a little different from what people may be considering?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Alexander and Baldwin is the owner of the lands. They talked about wanting to do diversified agriculture. We have seen across the state that diversified agriculture is a very difficult thing to be successful at. And so we have been talking with some people who are experts of what we call regenerative agriculture. And we think that this has a better chance to be profitable and therefore for the land to remain in agriculture. So specifically, regenerative agriculture concentrates on building the soil instead of extracting all of the nutrients from it. And with better soil health, you have increased organic content, less water usage. You have multiple income streams from the same property. You might have as many as six things going on that all generate income. And they also, one process can take the waste stream from another and use it as an input for fertilizer, for example.
I understand you just said about the fertilizer. That was sort of where maybe naturally a lot of people's thoughts went. But when you talk about having up to six and also being able to rebuild the soil, specifically how do you rebuild the soil in that way, and what might be some other examples of income streams that the very same land would be producing?
Well, course, it depends on what you start with, but let's say that you're starting on some former cane lands that have been they've been using chemical fertilizers mostly. They burn off the crop, and so there's not a lot of organic matter being returned to the soil. There's some, but the first thing you would do would be plant some cover crops to build the nitrogen, build the organic content. You could run cattle on the grass there. You could run sheep. You could have chickens come through, and they would leave their fertilizer behind. And over time, you would build the organic content in the soil.
And that would be okay with the Department of Health about having chickens running around too?
Well, I don't see why not. It happens all the time.
When you look at farming per se and what might happen there, that's a big part of how you look at the future. But a lot of that depends on water too. The A and B lands already have an irrigation infrastructure, but what about the rest of the island as you see that conflict between development and conservation still playing out with what other people want from other parts of the island?
Well, I think that there is a competition for water between agriculture and urbanization. So I think that's what we're looking at as a choice. And in a lot of cases, the water is essential to the urbanization. And it's a little bit tricky because keeping the land in agriculture, you need water to do that. But then if that's available for agriculture, then it's also available for urbanization. So it really depends on the planning process to see what's going to happen.
And what about the pressure of the visitor industry? Now that Maui has record numbers, a lot of people would like to see that continue and grow.
Well, in my personal opinion, we need to look at the carrying capacity of our infrastructure and of our environment. And at the current time, we have clearly exceeded the current carrying capacity both of our wastewater systems and our transportation. So, for example, we have injection wells that inject the partially treated effluent into the ground at Lahaina, in the Lahaina area. And if you go offshore, there's been so much nutrient loading that there's a lot of algae growing. There was a boatload of decision makers that went out into the water the other day, and from my discussions with some of those people, they could see the effluent bubbling up from just a few feet offshore and hardly any fish life. So, and at the same time, we're still having additional projects going in before that's settled. The county is spending millions of dollars appealing the lawsuit that was filed that they lost, instead of taking the money and fixing the problem. In Kihei, South Maui, the problem is reported to be four times worse. Hmm. And that's not even being addressed. So
well, I'll tell you what,
we need to solve that problem before we start adding additional wastewater load.
For the moment, we have to say goodbye only in the interest of time, but we'll take this up again with you sometime in the future. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you, Beth. Aloha.
Aloha. Albert Perez is the executive director of the Maui Tomorrow Foundation.